coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
Rush University research has found that people who do this, consume a large bowl of dark leafy greens every day, have brains that look up to 11 years younger on scans. So, I mean, you want to have a more youthful brain, eat dark leafy greens.
Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Blocks. So I love finding new tools to not just only optimize my own health, but the health of my friends. And one category that I know that I can make a significant difference in their life in is sleep. I change their sleep, I change their life. Now, sometimes health gadgets can be pretty expensive. I have some of them and I love my expensive gadgets, but they're not always accessible for everyone. But there is something that is beneficial and affordable to everybody and is not crazy expensive, and that's blue light blocking glasses. This is a super easy way to block the blue light from the screens and boost your body's natural melatonin production. I love the blue light blocking glasses made by Blue Blocks because, unlike other mass-produced brands, their glasses are based on peer-reviewed literature and the science of how light impacts health. Blue Blocks glasses reduced my digital eye strain and improved my sleep, but more importantly, helped me improve the sleep of my friends, because once you have the knowledge of health, you want to give it away. And if you can help your friends sleep better, they're healthier, happy people for the rest of their life. Blue Blocks makes a variety of high-quality blue light glasses to cover different areas of your life. They have clear lenses. These are the blue light line to combat computer screen and artificial light. Their summer glow line to block blue light, but add in a little yellow tint for mood boosting effect. And their sleep plus line to wear a few hours before bed, my favorite, that blocks 100% of blue and green light for optimum melatonin production and improved sleep. Blue Blocks has more than 40 stylish frames available in prescription, non-prescription, and readers, and they even have kids' sizes because kids need good sleep too. I definitely recommend you check out all their products for a better night's sleep. Right now, Blue Blocks is offering my listeners of the Broken Brain Podcast 20% off. Just go to blueblocks.com/brokenbrain. And use the code Broken Brain, all one word. That's blueblocks.com/brokenbrain with the code Broken Brain. I hope you check them out. Okay, now back to this week's episode. Hi everyone, Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. The decisions we make each and every day, like what we eat, how much sleep we get, and how often we move, are all steps that can dramatically shift the health of our brain for the better. In this week's mini episode, I speak with Max Lugavere, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, and Dr. David Perlmutter about taking an empowered approach to supporting the brain, starting with food first. Let's listen in, starting with my good friend Max Lugavere, a filmmaker, health and science journalist, and the author of the New York Times best-selling book, Genius Foods: Become Smarter, Happier, and More Productive While Protecting Your Brain for Life. He's also the host of the number one iTunes health podcast, The Genius Life. You have a New York Times bestseller, congratulations, by the way, called Genius Foods. And you talk about foods that have such an important impact that are well-researched. That's what I love about your work that you cite, is that you bring in a journalistic approach because your background is in journalism. And you talk about all the science that shows a strong case, and in some cases, other foods that we think are very healthy that maybe the evidence is not there, or the evidence is counterintuitive, which I'm gonna get back to in a second. So let's just go through a couple of these. Let's talk about three of these foods here that people would be surprised to know that this food is a brain health food.
Yeah, so first of all, I mean, with the book Genius Foods, I really want to strip away the BS, strip away the dogma, and really pick the foods that are packed with the kinds of nutrients that we know that your brain needs, not only to survive the modern world, but to thrive. We want to give it the kinds of nutrients and the kinds of antioxidants that are really going to help your brain fend off against the insults due to, you know, toxin exposure. I mean, the modern world, we're confronted with more toxins than ever before in human history. You know, and I kind of use toxins as a to cast a wide net. I mean, this could describe anything from the industrial grain and seed oils that we overconsume today, the canola oil, corn oil, soybean oil. These oils are toxic. But then all the way down to the refined processed carbohydrates that now make up 60% of our of the calories that we intake. So these foods that I highlight, if you can go to the supermarket and just buy them on loop, you're going to be doing your brain a huge favor. So three of them, I would say, you know, for one, definitely dark leafy greens. So my favorite, spinach, kale, and arugula. What I try to do every single day is I try to eat what I call a large fatty salad. And I'm usually focusing on those three greens. Rush University research has found that people who do this, consume a large bowl of dark leafy greens every day, have brains that look up to 11 years younger on scans. So, I mean, you want to have a more youthful brain, eat dark leafy greens. I'm usually dousing those greens in extra virgin olive oil. And I'll tell you why. Extra virgin olive oil, I consider to be a genius food in its own right. Because it's rich in, first of all, it's got a very favorable fatty acid profile. So in terms of the kind of oil that we want to consume liberally, we can look to many different types of studies to confirm that extra virgin olive oil is really beneficial. We can look at the population level and we can see that people who tend to consume more extra virgin olive oil have better health. They've got better cardiovascular health. They've got better brain health. They even can lose weight. We can look, taking it a step down, to randomized control trials. You know, there was the PREDIMED trial. The PREDIMED trial was a very large population, long-term, about 6 years is what it spanned, trial where they took groups of people and they put them on either low-fat diets or Mediterranean diets, which were already higher in fat, and they supplemented those two Mediterranean groups with either more nuts or more extra virgin olive oil. And they found that when consuming up to a liter per week, it actually improved the health outcomes of these people. The PREDIMED study was actually recently reanalyzed because there were some flaws in the randomization in the methodology. But even after the reanalysis of the trial, they found that the results were the same. And so very good evidence. You know,
and a lot of people were surprised because, as you mentioned, up to a liter a week.
Yes, that's a lot.
That's a large quantity.
Yeah, that's a large quantity. I mean, you know, we now know, thankfully, that fat doesn't make you fat, even though the two unfortunately have the same word. But extra virgin olive oil, you know, it's the polyphenols in the oil, aside from the fatty acid ratio of monounsaturated fat to saturated fat, it's very favorable from that standpoint, but it also contains plant compounds that are profoundly anti-inflammatory. So inflammation is the cornerstone of all modern disease, pretty much. And extra virgin olive oil is one of these foods that has a very strong anti-inflammatory effect in the body. And then we can look to animal studies. So we can see from all these different types of studies that extra virgin olive oil is very beneficial. And when we throw it on that salad, it actually helps to make some of the most important compounds in the greens more bioavailable. So it's a total synergy, Drew. It's like one of these cases in biology where 1 + 1 = 5.
So when you're making your fatty salad,
yeah,
with the dark greens, do you just literally throw, like, build the salad for us, right?
Because
yeah, sometimes people who are new to this and they're just listening to the podcast, they're just imagining you dumping a bowl of arugula and then pouring olive oil on top. Is it like that? Do you stack it? Do you add other things to it? Walk us through your process.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you about a salad that I had today. So I threw in equal parts kale, spinach, and arugula. So kale and spinach are great. Spinach and kale, both amazing sources of dietary fiber, magnesium, which is critically important to help your body repair against DNA damage and create energy for you. But arugula is special because it's one of the top dietary sources of plant nitrates, which are really important for healthy blood vessel function. So this is really important for, you know, sexual function. I mean, we all want that blood flow. You talked about that earlier a bit, you know, that actually erectile dysfunction is a very early sign of cardiovascular disease. And it's a sort of under-recognized sign. But also your brain relies on healthy blood flow as well. And one single high nitrate meal actually might boost cognitive function. It boosts blood flow to the brain. And it works actually by providing the precursors to nitric oxide in your blood vessels, which helps to sort of act like a vasodilator. It helps to sort of like open up your capillaries and push new blood and nutrients to your brain. So I take those dark leafy greens, I put them in a bowl. Today I threw in some raw beets, which are also, again, great source of nitrate, helping with that blood flow. Some raw sunflower seeds, very delicious, for texture. I like to have fun with it. I throw in some bell peppers. Bell peppers are actually rich in, luteolin, which has been shown to in animal models to prevent brain aging. And then I'll throw in my extra virgin olive oil, maybe some protein like an egg or some, you know, chopped up grilled chicken. Extra virgin olive oil. I'm a big fan of apple cider vinegar. So I'll use some apple cider vinegar. Salt, pepper. We know that pepper enhances the bioactivity of certain plant compounds like curcumin found in turmeric. So it doesn't take a stretch of the imagination to, you know, theorize that that's going to have a similar effect in the polyphenols found in dark leafy greens. So it's a little biohack that I use. I want to, you know, definitely always add that black pepper into my salad with some salt. And I'm also a big fan of nutritional yeast. So I'll throw some nutritional yeast in there, which gives it sort of like a cheesy texture, even though it's a dairy-free product. It's actually a flavor enhancer. So it gives my salad like a really savory flavor. I think actually salt and nutritional yeast and these kinds of things that add sort of a savory bite to our foods are, it's sort of like a very underappreciated benefit of adding more salt to your food. You know, I mean, if you're listening and you have children and you're scratching your head trying to figure out how to get your kids to eat more vegetables, use salt liberally. You know, I mean, salt's not a bad guy. We sometimes forget that sodium is a nutrient and we need it for good health. So I'm making that salad, you know, acidic with the vinegar and salty and savory. And
there's a lot of layers.
A lot of layers, yeah.
And that's what adds to the flavor, yeah, for the richness. And I'm sure every day it's not the same salad. You kind of vary this, vary that.
Yeah, there are no rules. There are no rules. Sometimes I'll, you know, I mean, in this salad that I had today, I used apple cider vinegar. Sometimes I'll use balsamic vinegar. Sometimes I'll leave out the nutritional yeast.
The right combination of oils, a few key spices, is literally a game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what McDonald's and all these people know, except they use very unhealthy things to hijack our taste buds.
Yeah.
They know that they can take iceberg lettuce, which has no flavor, and put the, you know, most addictive, worst salad dressing on there and people will eat it up.
Yeah.
We can create our own version of that if we know the tools that are available.
You know, it's also, I think, really interesting to keep in mind that some of the most healthy plant compounds have a bitter taste. And they're bitter because plants generate them as a means of discouraging smaller animals from consuming them. Right. But actually, these plants have what's called a hormetic effect on our body. So they're bitter. They're, I guess, mildly toxic at the cellular level. But we're so robust as a species that, you know, they don't actually have a negative effect on us. They, in essence, cause our bodies to upregulate the production of our own antioxidant compounds. And so it's one of the reasons why these plants are actually so good for us. All plant foods, from coffee to cacao, all contain an abundance of these bitter polyphenol compounds. And some of the plants that are most bitter are the most good for us for that reason. So look at herbs. You know, a lot of people kind of shy away from putting herbs into salads because of their strong flavor, but they're actually some of the most concentrated sources of these polyphenols. So go to town, throw parsley, cilantro. I mean, there's no, you know, these add a major health kick, and by throwing in the oil and the black pepper, you're really giving your body a powerful health jolt when you add like herbs and other bitter compounds into your salad.
That's great. So we talked about dark green leafy vegetables and, of course, a little bit of olive oil and black pepper and a few other things inside of there. What's another genius food that you can break down for us?
Yeah. Well, I would say eggs. I'm definitely a big fan of eggs, although the speakers, those doctors at Revitalize would probably disagree with me. But, you know, we now know, Drew, and you know, Dr. Hyman has talked about this in his books, that for the vast majority of people, dietary cholesterol has no effect on risk for heart disease.
And break that down. Of course, Dr. Hyman's written a book called Eat Fat, Get Thin. We've done some education in broken brain. But for people that are new or need a little, revisit on that,
yeah,
help us understand that and like really break it down. So you're saying like the cholesterol that when we go into a doctor's office and they measure our cholesterol,
yeah,
you know, and we're often told like, oh, go eat an egg yolk omelet or stay away from this or stay away from grass-fed beef or these things. You're saying that those two things don't have a connection. So
right,
help us understand that.
The vast majority of cholesterol that you have in circulation in your body is actually produced by your liver. So your liver produces about 4 egg yolks worth of cholesterol every single day. Your brain produces cholesterol. It's called de novo cholesterol synthesis. Your brain is 25% of the cholesterol that is found in your body is located in your brain.
And cholesterol is a hormone that every one of our cells uses.
Exactly. Without cholesterol, we'd be dead. So let's start there. So the whole notion that cholesterol is this demonic, dietary compound that somehow, we should avoid is not true. I mean, we evolved consuming cholesterol. There's no doubt about that. And we now know that people, that for the vast majority of people, consuming dietary cholesterol doesn't have an impact on the circulating cholesterol that you have in your body. And I say the vast majority because, you know, in biology, there are always exceptions. So one thing that I talk about in my book, Genius Foods, is the fact that there's no such thing as a one-size-fits-all diet. I mean, we could argue that there's a one-size-fits-most diet, but everybody's different at the end of the day. And so there are people that are hyperabsorbers. And so I just want to be really clear that, you know, these are recommendations that are, that for most of the people listening to this podcast, you know, feel free to eat the egg yolk. It's not going to have any impact on your circulating cholesterol. And in fact, egg yolks are nature's multivitamin. They're, the benefits of consuming egg yolks by far for most people are going to outweigh any potential risk. Because egg yolks are packed with choline, they're packed with vitamin B12, they're packed with carotenoids that help protect your eyes and your brain against aging, like lutein and zeaxanthin. There's even an anti-inflammatory compound that was recently identified called yokin in the yolks. So egg yolks have a myriad of really healthy things. And you know, from an evolutionary standpoint, it totally makes sense because when an embryo is developing, the first structure to assemble is the nervous system, which includes the brain. So an egg yolk is literally postmarked by nature to contain all of the ingredients required to grow a healthy embryonic brain and nervous system.
A poor diet affects our brains in more ways than one. What we eat influences everything from our mood, our ability to focus, memory, and even our gut health. My next guest and good friend, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, is one of the most influential medical doctors in Europe and the host of the most listened to health podcast in the UK and Europe, Feel Better, Live More. Dr. Chatterjee and I discuss the power of eating the right kinds of fats like DHA to boost cognition. Let's listen in.
When we're talking about brain health, you know, omega-3 rich food, in particular fatty fish, is a critical food for our overall health, including our brain health. You know, a lot of our brain is made up of fat, right? And a lot of that fat is what we call DHA. DHA is a kind of omega-3. And the best source of DHA is fatty fish. And there's some really good studies showing now that actually the levels of omega-3 in our diet, and you can actually measure this in your blood, the levels of serum omega-3 in your blood, right, is correlated with increased brain activity. But let's think about that. We're literally saying that the food that we are choosing directly impacts our brain, right? So very much, you know, I think all of us are proponents of you know, things like wild salmon and anchovies and sardines. And if you're talking about cost, right, talking about cost, because that's a big issue for people these days, right? Sardines, anchovies, you go to your supermarket, you can get them very cheaply.
Canned sardines, Dr. Hyman's favorite salad that he talks about in the series, is that he takes avocados, some dark leafy greens, you know, cuts up a few vegetables, maybe some bell peppers, some cucumbers, and literally will open up a can of sardines, wild caught, so cheap. You can order it online through websites like Thrive Market or get it at Trader Joe's, dumps it in, little bit balsamic vinegar, a little bit of olive oil, sea salt, pepper, and
it's
that's
easy.
A salad. It's easy. It's quicker than driving.
Yeah.
15 minutes, spending, you know, a few dollars on fast food. It's quicker, it's faster, it tastes better, and it's actually good for your brain.
Chronic degenerative conditions are the number one cause of death on the planet. The proactive steps we take today can safeguard ourselves against cognitive decline and neurological disease. Besides our diet, there is another very important piece to the brain, exercise. I explore this topic in my interview with board-certified neurologist and four times New York Times best-selling author, Dr. David Perlmutter. Let's listen in.
The next thing that is certainly very powerful in terms of brain health, and it means you have to buy something. There's something very specific that I want your listeners to go out and buy. It's called a new pair of sneakers or athletic shoes. Call them what you want. But people have to get up and move. Why? Because study after study has demonstrated a very strong correlation between sedentarity, meaning not moving, and Alzheimer's risk. when we want to look at those retrospective studies, it's very compelling. But now there have actually been interventional studies done, one by a Dr. Erickson collaborative group at UCLA with the University of Pittsburgh, demonstrating in a one-year period of time, two groups of individuals were randomized. Well, one group was randomized into two groups. One group got a stretching program to do every day. The other group got a more aerobic program to do every day. And they measured three things. They measured their blood level of a certain chemical that we'll talk about in a moment called BDNF, which increases the growth of brain cells. They measured the actual size of their brain's memory center, and they actually measured their memory function. And what did they find? Across the board, those individuals who did some stretching but nothing really demanding had smaller memory centers, lower levels of this important chemical for the brain called BDNF. And also on MRI scanning, their memory centers shrunk during that one-year period. In contrast to those people who simply did aerobic exercise, who had better memory function, higher levels of BDNF, and their hippocampus, the memory processing center in the brain, actually increased in size. Why might that be? Well, it's no mystery. BDNF is increased in individuals who engage in physical exercise. Very straightforward. BDNF stimulates a process called neurogenesis, meaning the growth of new brain cells, specifically in the brain's memory center called the hippocampus. So it all fits together. If you cut your carbs, eat more fat, and get some physical exercise very regularly, I would say 6 times a week, minimum 20 minutes, get your heart rate up, you're already on a program that is absolutely going to help reduce, and quite dramatically, your risk for a disease for which there is no treatment called Alzheimer's. So, you know, this is the message that is not patentable. No one can own it. No one can put it into a pill and make billions of dollars selling it. And yet, this is a message that, you know, the general public really isn't getting. You know, when you watch the evening news, you see advertisements for an Alzheimer's pill or something made from jellyfish or who knows what, like that's supposed to be your answer, where people have the answer already. They just need to put this into play.
What you choose to put on your plate is one of the most important health interventions that you can make. Food not only affects our likelihood of disease, but it can lengthen our lives, change our mood, and even affect the expression of our DNA. By approaching disease with the holistic perspective, of which food is a vital, vital part, we can tackle the root causes of disease and truly live well. We can change our destiny by making better choices today, and it's possible with the right education and environment. Thanks for tuning in to this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, share it with someone who you think would also appreciate it. All right, I'll see you next week. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.